We see in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita the discussion opening between Dhritarashtra and Sanjaya, Dharma Kshetra, Kuru Kshetra, Samaveta, Yutsavaha, Pandavas Mamakas Chaiva, Kim Akurvata Sanjaya. So, on this Dharma Kshetra, in this holy place, Kuru Kshetra, what is happening, O Sanjaya? What is happening to my own sons and what is happening to the Pandavas? Dhritarashtra was in anxiety. Dhritarashtra, anyway, felt powerless being a blind man. Naturally, when one is blind, one is more confronted with a lack of power than another man. So Dhritarashtra specifically felt that sense of insecurity, a sense of dependence and helplessness, just from the very onset, by destiny, by his karma. And Dhritarashtra, therefore, he couldn't do anything about the situation. He couldn't mount a chariot and go out there to Kurukshetra himself and join his sons in battle. He could not. Although he had taken his birth in a Kshatriya family. So it would have been appropriate in one sense for him to join the battle, but he could not. So his position was a helpless one. His position was one of anxiety. And in that anxiety, he knew very well. He knew that Kurukshetra was a holy place. He also knew that a battle between his sons and the Pandavas in that holy place of Kurukshetra, in one sense, was in the favor of the Pandavas. Because the Pandavas, they were pious. So religious places were kind of good for the Pandavas and not so much for Dhritarashtra's sons. So he had some bad feelings about this upcoming fight. He had a feeling that it was going to go wrong. And then everything that transpired there was quite emotional. At one point, Dhritarashtra is seeing that Arjuna, Senayor Ubayor Madhye, standing between two armies, that Arjuna decides not to fight. A little bit of hope, a little bit of happiness was entering into the heart of Dhritarashtra, who for a moment was thinking, well, this is pretty good. This is very good. Arjuna is not going to fight. Then, of course, Krishna somehow or other interfered. First Arjuna, in total confusion, decided not to fight. Oh, glorious day. Oh, wonderful glory of destiny. My sons will definitely win the battle. Now, look who they have on their side. The powerful Bhishma, and he is the general of our army of the Kurus. And who is the general of the army of the Pandavas? Bhima. He is strong, but no strategy. I mean, Bhishma, the king of strategy himself, what can Bhima do? Bhima, he has muscle, but not beyond that, not like Bhishma. So, no, we are well protected. And even then, beyond all that, there's Dronacharya. He's the teacher. He's the one who taught everyone all the tricks. So, we have the best on our side. Yes, everything seemed very well. But Still, looking at the situation a little deeper, at the same time, there still was a problem because Duryodhana, as was witnessed by Dhritarashtra, Sanjaya told him how Duryodhana went before Dronacharya and said, "Acharya, right? I know that now we are here, standing in front of the army, so nicely arranged by your disciple." And in this way, Duryodhana was using sarcastic words, trying to make Drona feel guilty and sort of accusing him that he was not really fighting seriously. So in this way, he was trying to incite Dronacharya to prove himself and fight more serious. So Duryodhana was also in anxiety, because the army that the Pandavas had been able to mobilize was much greater than expected. Much greater. I mean, they were five princes and a few people got on their side, but the Kurus, they were the ruling house. They were the royalty. And these five princes were just rebelling against the ruling family. So what could they be expected to do there at Kurukshetra? And then they came up with an army which was just, to say the least, impressive. Still, we remember those words of Arjuna when the bow Gandiva was slipping from his hand, when tears were coming from his eyes, when he felt overwhelmed, and when he said, "Govinda na yuyutsavaha, Govinda, I shall not fight." And here we are sort of coming towards the end of the first chapter, which sort of takes us in the situation of the Mahabharata, where the Gita links to the Mahabharata. And then Kapanyadusa Pahata Swabhava Prichamitam Dharma Samudasitahaya Sreyan Shamnisitam Bruhitam Mesisyastyam Sadimam Tam Prabhanam. Then Krishna is approached by Arjuna, who says, who's asking now to please be accepted as his disciple. Please instruct me. Instruct me and accept me. Sisyastehum. From this moment on, accept me as your sisya, as your disciple. So that is the turning point. And Krishna immediately took up the matter. He agreed, and then the first thing he did, he didn't sort of say a few nice words to him, patted him on the back or any for encouragement, said, "Come on, Arjuna, don't cry." No, immediately he said, "Asuchanan vasuchistam prakyavadam chabasase gatasunna gatasuscham nanusu santipanditaha." You are mourning. And that is not befitting a man who is wise, panditaha. You are mourning for what is not worthy of grief, O Arjuna. Half his family was supposed to be knocked out there, and he was supposed to do it. Good luck. There's the army, and all your brothers and cousins, your grandfather, your teacher, everyone is standing there on the other side, and it's your job to kill him. Well, how would you feel? Would you do it? Would you kill your own grandfather? Anybody here would kill his own grandfather? Please raise your hand. Then you would do it, huh? Oh, what spirit, huh?
If Krishna instructs, he would do it, huh? Yes. Yes.
But even then, Arjuna gave Krishna many good arguments. He said, my dear Krishna, you see, if I kill my teachers, if I kill my grandfather, if the elders will be killed, then the family tradition will be lost. And then the youth will go astray, the women will be no longer protected, and what will we get? Right? We will get independent ladies, we'll get unwanted progeny. Jayate Varna Sanskara. Adharma Bibhavat Krishna Pradushyanti Kulastriya Pradushyanti. The women will become corrupted. So, is that what you are proposing? Huh? By killing the grandfather? I mean, would you just blindly just do it without presenting any reason and argument? Huh? My question, you just blindly shoot like that without using your brain? Huh? When it is Krishna, yes, but Arjuna did not say yes. Arjuna has presented some good arguments, very reasonable, very reasonable, isn't it? He was saying, my grandfather should not be killed to Krishna. Well, we would have also said it, except this one gentleman who is... Maybe he doesn't like his grandfather. Well, of course I don't know. Please don't mind. Could be. I'm just trying to understand the matter. No, so it is a difficult issue. A very. He might be knowledgeable of Krishna. We are one step ahead of Arjuna because he was at that time in chapter 1, starting chapter 2, and we already have read all the 18 chapters. So, therefore, very smart. This is a good argument. Good thinking. Okay, I accept defeat at this. He had the Gita already. Yes. Arjuna was at disadvantage because he was starting at chapter 2. But reading chapter 2, though, things change a lot. When we read chapter 2, the reality is changing a lot because immediately, najayate mriyate vakadachin. Soul doesn't take birth, soul doesn't die, soul is eternal. Therefore, death has no meaning in relation to the soul. No meaning at all. Nothing. It is not affecting the soul in any way. Nainam chindanti sastrani naidam dati pavakaha. This verse of the second chapter is also found in a slightly different form in Upanishads. Right? And that verse is establishing that... the soul cannot be cut to pieces, not be dried by the wind, not be burned by fire, not be drowned and not be dried by the wind. In other words, the soul is indestructible, as we know. So, this is the big message of the second chapter. The eternal nature of the soul. Well, it is wonderful if you sit with the Bhagavad Gita and you are discussing it on the basis of the book. But when it becomes real life, one year I was in a program in the Czech Republic and there were 400 devotees and it was all very nice. And it was a retreat, so we were together for a few days and we just had a break for the lunch, and then after lunch, the program was supposed to continue. And then just then, one elderly-looking man suddenly fell to the ground, and he turned totally gray. And immediately, all the devotees sang first the Nisringa prayers 400 devotees were there. They're all singing, and then went into the Hare Krishna mantra. So, but of course, you know, this man, it looked maybe like heart or something. So the temple management immediately called the emergency number, right? So we were in a place a little bit on the outside of the city in a forest area. So within, I think 7 minutes. Helicopter landed on the grass. Some men in red uniforms were running out, and they had the whole big electric thing with them, and they put electrodes on the man, and they were trying to revive him. The management asked us to be a little quiet with the kirtan, so we were reluctantly quiet and sort of. And then, as the men of the hospital were trying to save him, 400 people were praying, die. 400 people were praying that this man might die. It's true. Why? Because, yes, this man, if he would have gone to the hospital, he would have probably died in the hospital 3 days later, all alone by some nurses. Now if he left his body, he would leave in a kirtan with 400 people. Then the people from the hospital said, "Nah, nothing can be done for this man. He already died some minutes ago." And during the kirtan, actually. And they left, and we started again the kirtan. And actually, this was such an amazing thing that this man could leave in the middle of 400 people in a kirtan. And who was he? Well, the story was that he was a man who had met some book distributors, and a few years ago he had bought the entire Bhagavatam set from the devotees, and he had just about a few weeks ago he had met a devotee, and he had said that, "I have just completed that Bhagavatam set. Are there any more books?" I said, "Yes, there are more." And the devotees had said, "Well, we are having a retreat coming up really next week. Why don't you come?" He said, "All right, I will come." He had never been in the temple before, never been with the devotees before. But somehow or other, he came to that retreat. And he was there, and somehow or other, by Krishna's arrangement, he had just finished the Bhagavatam. And then somehow or other, he left just when 400 devotees were all together, because for prasadam nobody was missing. And therefore, he left just at that time with the kirtan with 400 devotees surrounding him. So we realized how fortunate this man was. And we wondered, who was this man? What did he do in his life to deserve this? And we could see that maybe this man had not, at least this life, spent much time with devotees. But somehow or other, he must have had faith. And somehow or other, he must have had respect for the Supreme Lord. Somehow or other, he had developed faith and respect for the Supreme Lord. And in this way, he had satisfied the Supreme Lord, who said, "All right, this lifetime, yes, you have sufficiently satisfied me. I can see you have actually no other interest. You're not very interested now in the worldly relationships. You are interested in the relationship, the eternal relationship with me." And as a result, he was allowed to go. And if you leave with 400 devotees chanting kirtan, then that will propel you straight to the Vaikuntha realm. So, how fortunate. But we get so busy. This auntie not well, business is not going like it used to, it's a struggle, a recession in America is setting in, what to do, a dollar-based economy, we begin to feel it in the UK. These kind of things may just capture our mind, and we worry and we worry. Exams, and we are in anxiety and never think of Krishna once and so on. And we neglect Krishna. From Sunday to Sunday. Sunday we think of Krishna a little, but what about all the days in between? How much are we thinking of Krishna always? I remember the opening of our temple in Delhi. It was special because India's Prime Minister was personally coming. Well, it was quite a lot of preparation. For one thing, they cleaned the road. I'd never seen it like that. Completely clean. A miracle. Yes. And then, next thing, Black Cat Commandos came to our temple. And they brought dogs and metal detectors. And they next 1 minute you saw them on the roof. Next minute you saw them in the restaurant. Then my room went open and the dog came in. And I got sniffed and the metal detectors. And there was no metal inside. And I was all right and cleared. And I got a VVIP badge. Well, I was there on that day. And of course some people were really trying to get into the picture with the Prime Minister and so on. Because, yes, the most important personality in all of India was present there on that occasion. Oh, yes, he was. The most important personality in all of India, one of the largest nations in the world, was present today, or was present on that day, that historical day, in our temple at ISKCON. Yes, indeed he was. Namely, Parthasarathi was there. Yes, Lord Krishna in his form of Parthasarathi was present. Certainly the most important person in all of India was present in that temple today. Lord Krishna was there. Yes. And that is a fact. In any situation, wherever we are, know that Krishna is always the most important person. Even when you look into the eyes of your beloved, and you look deep, then you can say, from the bottom of your heart, you are the dearmost person to me on the entire planet after Krishna. Right? That is actually the position. If we somehow or other can develop this strength, then we are safe. Then we are safe. So it is the duty of a devotee to always stay safe on the spiritual platform, no matter where we are. I can tell you one more story. My friend, I have one good friend in Indore, one Mr. Gupta. I used to go to his place quite a long time ago, but I still consider him my friend. Gupta ji had some shop in truck parts, Tata, you know. The whole shop was full of Tata parts, and all these sadars would come and all day long haggle with him over the price. No, it cannot be so expensive. Yes, and so on. Now, there are so many workshops like that, but there was one difference with Gupchas. It's only one more line, O Pujariji. there was one thing. Everywhere were pictures of Krishna in Gupta's workshop, on the ceiling, on the walls, on his pen, everywhere pictures. I asked Gupta, why you have so many pictures of Krishna? He said,
I might just forget Krishna. So this is my advice to you. Put pictures of Krishna everywhere, somehow or other, yena tena prakarena mana Krishna nisevyat. Keep that mind fixed on Krishna. He is the most important person present at any time. Thank you very much. Sisi Radha Gokulananda ki jai.